Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about him.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all,
y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday, 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airwaves of Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. That's 888-623-3646. Do you know now? Do you know now? Remember that caller yesterday that sounded like a damn idiot? Talking about Shea Butter, Shea Gilgeous, Alexander ain't all that. And we need to stop big upping him. And he disrespects the game because of this. Do you know now? Do you know now? This is Shea Butter we talking about here. This is the Oklahoma City Thunder we're talking about here. These are the reigning, defending NBA champions. With a league MVP, a champion and an NBA Finals MVP that returned this year, and all he's been doing is what he did last year to win a championship. And by the way, what he did the year before. And by the year, what he did the year before that. This is going to be the fourth consecutive year that Shea Gilgeous-Alexander has averaged over 30. He's at over 31 right now. The only reason you're seeing 28 points on 12 or 25 shooting with 7 rebounds and 7 assists was because he only played 2.5 quarters. Because yesterday, the Los Angeles Lakers, one of the top two most storied franchises in basketball annals, got their living ass kicked. I mean, what a stomp. What a beatdown. And it was from start to finish. I don't want to hear about Luka Doncic and his hamstring injury. At the time he went down, he was getting his ass kicked so bad, you had people wondering whether or not he was faking. I'm not accusing him of that. I know better. I know how great he is. But it was that kind of ass whipping that we witnessed in the 25 minutes. I'm sorry, the 26 minutes that he played on the court last night. Luka Doncic and the Lakers were outscored by 25. Now, mind you, over this stretch where they finished 15-2 for the month of March, where they were looking like gangbusters, where they were flat out balling and their defensive prowess had elevated. Not only was Luka Doncic averaging nearly 40 or nearly 50% shooting and nearly 40% shooting for three-point range and busting everybody's butt in front of them, the Lakers were plus 11 per 100 possessions with him on the court. Last night, in 26 minutes, he was outscored by 25. He had gone like 13, 14 straight games, averaging, scoring like over 30 each one of those games. Last night, he was 12 points and 30% shooting for 1-7 from the field. The Oklahoma City Thunder was in his ass, like my man Kendrick Perkins would say, like back pockets. They were all over him. You know why? Because they listened to the show, that's why. And they watched First Take, that's why. And they heard all the bloviating about, LeBron and AR and Luka. And they were like, yo, y'all must have forgot who the hell we are. Jalen Williams is back in the lineup after missing about 46 games. Even without him, Oklahoma City still been the number one seed. Because the same Shea Butter we talking about with all the things that Luka Doncic is doing ain't a damn thing compared to what Shea Butter been doing. It's like that. And oh, by the way, just for clarification purposes, the whole Shea Butter nickname, I would love to take credit for it, but it wasn't me. I actually got to give credit and love to where it's due. It was my colleague at ESPN, the wonderful, lovely Malika Andrews, that came up with the nickname Shea Butter. Give us some props for that. It wasn't me. I don't steal people's ideas. I give them credit for it. But it was her. Wasn't me. It was Malika Andrews. And boy, does it fit. Because this brother went out there last night. Listen, it's one thing to get blown out. It's another thing to lose by 40. It's another thing to be down damn near 50. and to settle for like a 46 point, or they were down by as many as 46. Only reason it didn't happen is because the top players were removed. They ran all over the Los Angeles Lakers. In the game's first 5 minutes, the Lakers were down 18-4. They got blown out the building from start to finish. They were down by 23 points in the first quarter. They were down by 31 at the half. And they trailed by as many as 46. They got their asses kicked. And the reason why it matters, even though it's a regular season game, it's because it was the Oklahoma City Thunder sending a message to the basketball world that there are levels to this. You want to talk about San Antonio? Fine. You want to talk about the Boston Celtics? That's fine. But don't bring up the Lakers when you're talking about us. They ain't on our level. We've whipped their ass every time we've seen them. Don't do that. That's what they were saying. That's what they were saying. Don't do that. Please don't do that. That's not nice. We're the champions. And they play like it. Props to the Oklahoma City Thunder for reminding us of who the hell they are. And most importantly, who the Lakers are not. And we're going to talk. Y'all can talk all you want to about Luka Doncic's injury, but there's really nothing to talk about. First of all, I'm not an orthopedic surgeon. I don't know. Hamstring injury. He missed 4 games before the All-Star break because of the hamstring injury. And he was rubbing his hamstring in the first half. A lot of people want to point the finger at J.J. Redick about why Luka was playing in the second half. Simple and clear. The medical staff evaluated Luka Doncic at halftime. And at halftime, after evaluating him, they gave J.J. Redick the green light that he was okay to play. What's the coach supposed to do? Last time I checked, as brilliant as J.J. Redick is, being a guy from Duke, former All-American, sniper himself, now the exceptional coach for the Los Angeles Lakers, my former colleague at ESPN, who I got love for, by the way. Last time I checked, I never heard that J.J. Redick got some medical degree. If he's told by the medical staff that the player is ready to play, what the hell is he supposed to do? Bench Luka Doncic? Now, if you want to say he shouldn't have played Luka in the second half, say it's because the game was over, they were getting their ass kicked, and there was no way they were coming back from it. Say that as the reason. But don't sit up there and say that because, you know, the medical staff gave him clearance, he shouldn't have listened. That's nonsense. So let's get that out the way. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number. Call up. That's 888-623-3646. My question is simple. What are you thinking about the Lakers now after that beatdown? To me, it's that their ceiling is the Western Conference semifinal. Their ceiling. Because they ain't getting past Oklahoma City, they ain't getting past San Antonio. Even though I think they got a better chance against San Antonio than OKC. That's about it. Other than that, they going home. Ain't no championship coming to Tinseltown. Let's get that out the way right now. Get it out your pipe dream. Get it out. 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. Final Four talk is obviously someplace we're going to go as well. Because we got UConn versus Illinois. We've got Michigan versus Arizona. Of course, the women's are going on tonight, and I think that's going to be big time. You know, listen, when I think about the women, just for a second here, UConn's won 54 straight. They've got 12 national titles. They're going for their 13th. This is their 25th Final Four, their 31st Sweet 16, 32nd consecutive Sweet 16 they've been to, 37 consecutive NCAA tournament appearances. My God. They're the creme de la creme. South Carolina is 35-3, though. Texas is 35-3, though. And on top of it all, UCLA is 35-1. So, to me, UConn winning the championship, especially if they do so convincingly, would be bad for women's basketball. Because it's reminding you yet again that there's UConn and everybody else, as opposed to real parity existing in women's college basketball, where there are several teams that are legitimate title contenders, as opposed to UConn being head and shoulders above everybody else. That's why if you're really, really hoping for the continued growth of women's basketball, collegiately and professionally, you should be rooting for South Carolina, UCLA, or Texas to knock off UConn. Because it's going to be a tall task with Strong and Fudd and good Lord have mercy. Good luck. Everybody's going to need it going up against UConn. To the men's, Michigan and Arizona, that's the elite matchup. two top teams defensively. I love Burries and Bradley at Arizona, along with Pete and Awaka and those brothers. They play physical, and Michigan has a problem with physicality. We'll evaluate and highlight that game moving forward as the show progresses. As it pertains to UConn and Illinois, here's what I'm going to say. Illinois is one of the tallest teams in the nation. I don't expect Reed and those boys to have the same impact against Illinois as they did against Duke. Cameron Booz is a big-time player, but he's not a big-time above-the-ring guy. He's a solid pro. Let's call it what it is, because I love me some Carlos Boozer, and I appreciate him more than you know. I've known him for years, and the job that he's done with his sons and their character really came shining out the way they handled themselves in the aftermath of the loss to Duke, especially Caden Boozer. What a pro. What a pro as a person, an adult. Very proud of, you should be very proud of how you raised those dudes, Carlos. But when I look at Cameron and Caden, specifically Cameron, the star power that comes with the Bonza, Acuff Jr., Peterson, Fleming, Caleb Wilson, you don't see that with Boozer. You see a good player that's going to be a steady pro, but you don't see that. With Illinois, you got tall players all over the place that UConn's going to have to go against instead of Boozer. You got four Europeans led by a cat by Stojakovic, the son of Peja Stojakovic, the former NBA player who was a big-time shooter himself. Seeing him in the crowd is really touching. And you got this kid, Keaton Wagler. Lord have mercy. Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst extraordinaire, came on my show First Take, my daytime job on ESPN, 10 a.m. to 12 noon every weekday from 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And he said that Keaton Wagler is like a taller version of Steph Curry. Oh, my God. I didn't know that. Brothers hit 85 three-pointers this year. Keaton Wagler's no joke. This brother's special. And I got to admit to you, I heard Danny Hurley talking about, you know, I know we got that sound showing about the chips. You know, championship, we ain't hanging bangers for getting to the Final Four. We hang championship banners. Listen to Danny Hurley talk here. Hear this for yourself.
We came here for rings, not watches. You know, everyone that comes to the Final Four gets a beautiful watch. You know, but only one group's going to get a ring. You know, so get off social media. Stop injecting the dopamine into your arm. And get serious about the preparation and the practice, because we don't hang banners for Final Fours at UConn. We hang national championship banners. And if you want to hang a banner, you got to get your eyes off social media, get your face out of the phone, and get locked in on Illinois.
I'll apologize on Monday if I'm wrong, but I don't believe UConn's beating Illinois. I think Illinois' size, and I think their shooting, even though they ain't the greatest three-point shooting team in the world. Matter of fact, a lot of times they struggle from three-point range, but they got a couple of players who can shoot. Wagler's one of them. This brother right here, this freshman, Mullins had a nice week being the story for UConn. I think it's Wagler's time now. I think we're going to see Wagler in the national championship game against Michigan or Arizona. That's what I think's going to happen. Kind of hope I'm wrong, because I don't root against Danny Hurley. Love him. And I only root against UConn when they're going up against St. John's, because St. John's is Queens, New York, and that's where I'm from. Born in the Bronx, raised in Queens since I was 1 year old. Went to Thomas Edison Vocational and Technical High School, studied electrical installation, which is right across the street from St. John's University, with the Grand Central Parkway divided both of us. I know a lot about St. John's, and I don't root against them. I'm rooting for Pitino. Sorry he left. I think if St. John's was in their Elite Eight against UConn instead of Duke, I think Pitino and St. John's would have beat UConn. And I know UConn excels against non-Big East teams. And this is their time of the year. Like Danny Hurley said, I just find it hard-pressed to believe they're going to beat Illinois. I could be wrong, and I won't be mad about it. I'll be happy for them. But Illinois seems to me to be a legit threat. I can see it coming down to Illinois versus Arizona, y'all. I can see it. Because I think the physicality is going to be too much for Michigan. And Lindenborg and those boys, who can play, by the way. underestimated Michigan's guard. I'm not going to do that anymore. Michigan, I owe an apology to. I'm sorry. I didn't know y'all were that damn good. I didn't like how y'all looked against Duke. I held it against y'all. I got emotional. I held on to it. My bad. My bad. Michigan, Coach Day, they're doing a great job. But that ain't the Fab Five. And I know they think they're better than the Fab Five. Cut your horses or hold your horses now. That's Juwan Howard. That's C. Webb. That's Jalen Rose. That's Ray Jackson. That's Jimmy King. King, you watch your mouth, Michigan. You watch your mouth. You don't say stuff like that out your mouth until you win a championship. Michigan lost twice with the Fab Five. Lost to Carolina when C. Webb called a timeout when there wasn't one and got annihilated by Duke. With Christian Leighton and Grant Hill and the boys. I remember. But that don't mean that this Michigan team is better than the Fab Five. Watch your mouth. Let's wait and see on that. Arizona, Illinois. That's where I'm going it with for now. You got a problem? I'm here. I ain't hiding. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is 888-623-3646. Last point I want to get to is this story involving LeBron James. And Sean, if we have that sound, get ready to play it. Because, ladies and gentlemen, LeBron James, who's now fallen in love with golf, at least that's what I'm told, was on a golf course with a few white buddies. And I'm mentioning the word white, and I'll tell you why in a minute. Playing some golf, and clearly it appears that he knew that they were taping and videotaping him. When they brought up the city of Memphis, Tennessee, and LeBron James decided to speak on Memphis, and I want you to listen to what he had to say.
41 years old. You think I want to do that being in Memphis on a random-ass Thursday? I'm not like the first guy I even talk about in the NBA. Like, we all like, you guys have to move. Just go over to Nashville. You got Vanderbilt over there. You got the NASCAR. You got a stadium. Don't they got a hockey team, too?
Yeah. Predators.
Like,
yeah.
They got everything. Their only chance was in 2003 if they had won the lottery to get me there. And I might have pulled a Eli Manning and not showed up.
It's a tough one. Let me first say this about what LeBron James said. And my man Kendrick Perkins somewhat disagreed with me. But the question was asked on First Take whether it was fair or foul for LeBron James to say what he said about Memphis, Tennessee. And I said, it's actually both. Because if you're talking about the Memphis basketball team, while they play at a decent arena known as FedEx Forum, which, by the way, just hosted the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament in 2024 last year. If you're talking about the FedEx Forum, that's a decent arena. If you're talking about the Memphis Grizzlies facilities and the treatment players receive, that's an entirely different argument altogether. LeBron James has been in the NBA for 23 years. He's been the preeminent star in the game for the vast majority of that time. If anybody would know how players are treated in Memphis, he would know. I'm talking about their amenities. I'm talking about the posh and affluent confines of their work environment. Desmond Bane got traded from the Grizzlies to the Orlando Magic, and he said it was heaven. It was a breath of fresh air. He talked about how playing in Memphis, it was like being in a dungeon every day. A gym with no windows and all of this other kind of stuff. He never said a negative word about the great city of Memphis, the people that's there, the fan base that's there, how supportive they are of the team, et cetera, et cetera. He never uttered a negative word. So in that regard, when LeBron James is talking about Memphis, specifically as a basketball player, wanting to play for Memphis, he was not wrong, and he was not foul. He was factual. Because you have players there that want to leave. You have players who have left and have been happy about it. And you have free agents that don't want no part to go in there. But that's about the team and its facilities. When we're talking about the city, it's an entirely different matter altogether. And that's where I come in. I've heard from Mayor Paul Young over the last few months, once or twice, because I was critical of the city of Memphis. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here months later, and I stand by what I said. I ain't backing up. I said Memphis and its politicians needed to get their act together to make sure they do everything they can to fix the city for the marvelous citizens that they have. I did not say that Paul Young wasn't doing his job. He just arrived. He's elected in 2024, if I remember correctly. He just arrived. But I said stuff needed to be cleaned up because it wasn't ideal. That is what I said. And I stand by that. I talked about its crime rate. I talked about how upscale the city of Nashville is compared to Memphis. And I talked about black citizens in the city of Memphis, okay, that deserve better. And I stand by that. I'm not backing up from that one bit. Memphis is 63% black last time I checked. And I want my peoples to flourish. I want them to be treated better. I want them to have better everything. And if I think a city is not doing enough, then I'm going to have a problem with that. Now, in fairness to Memphis, these numbers are according to the Memphis Police Department. It's pointing out how it made meaningful progress in the year 2025 toward a building a stronger, safer Memphis through focused enforcement, strategic policing, and strong partnerships. According to them, Memphis saw a 27% decrease in overall Part 1 crimes, a 26% decrease in murders, a 22% decrease in aggravated assaults, a 31% decrease in robberies, a 48% decrease in carjackings. This is compared to 2023, just 2 years earlier. Overall crime is down 41%. Violent crime is down 30%. Murders are down 37%. Props to Mayor Paul Young and the job that he's doing. But we also need to understand, and this is very important, that while Memphis is a city that ranks sixth amongst the largest U.S. cities in terms of highest percentage of the black population in 2025, it's very important that we understand that there's a difference in certain categories. Two things can be true. Violent crime could be on the decline in Memphis, as it is, and they could still rank very high among biggest cities in violent crime rate, according to the FBI. You got stuff to clean up. So in that regard, again, we can't throw shade on LeBron until we take into account knowing that 63% of the people there are black, knowing that they need this team to continue to help fuel the economy, the local economy there, as opposed to big up in Nashville and saying, why don't you just go there? Not thinking about the citizens at all. I'm not even telling you that LeBron James can't feel that way. I'm saying, to say it so flippantly amongst a bunch of white dudes on a golf course, knowing the cameras are rolling and videoing you, without any regard for what kind of effect that would have on a black populace, is problematic. Especially when I don't know if it was your sneakers or whatever it was that you just finished promoting months ago about black history and Martin Luther King and civil rights. I think you wore sneakers or something commemorating all of that. When I spoke about what this city needs in order to look out for the vast majority of its citizens who happen to be black that are living there. I did it right here on the mic and the cameras, with the cameras rolling. Dead serious as hell. Because I ain't trying to let nobody off the hook on that. I wasn't dressed in shorts, lollygagging on a golf course with a bunch of peeps that don't look anything like the folks that reside in Memphis. That's where it was foul. That was my take on it earlier this morning. That is still my take on it today. LeBron wasn't all wrong. LeBron said some very wise and on-point things about that. But other stuff was foul, particularly how flippant he was in saying it without any regard or sensitivity to black folks in Memphis, especially when he's got his I Promise school in Akron, Ohio, specifically designed to help uplift and improve the lives of black individuals and beyond from impoverished neighborhoods in that area. He clearly has sensitivity to those folks from his hometown. One would like to believe he has the same level of sensitivity to those folks everywhere. And I'm sure he does. It just didn't look like that on the golf course with a bunch of white boys surrounding him. Optics matter. Appearances matter. And words coming out of LeBron James' mouth about such a sensitive subject required a little bit more seriousness to the subject, not just as it pertained to his words, but also his surroundings. And that much needs to be said. That's my position. What does Kendrick Perkins think? You're about to find out. Right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Stephen A. back with the one and only Kendrick Perkins from ESPN in a minute.